Free at last, free at last, Michael. Thank God Almighty. Florida State has a path to be free at last. As the conference comes to a settlement with Florida State and Clemson, it has now been officially put out by the ACC and by both universities that this is agreed upon and it is going to happen, which also means the legal litigation lawsuits and all that stuff in court will be wrapped up. Florida State, during their Board of Trustees meeting, said it could take about 30 days or so for everything to become finalized. But all signs are go, Michael. All the green lights have been lit for the settlement to take place. And so that's what we're going to talk about today in this quick update for you guys, just to bring you the need-to-know details of what's going to go on and what it means for Florida State, what it means for the ACC, now that we have some actual kind of hard fact details here. So Florida State does agree to this in their Board of Trustees meeting. I actually just finished up watching that here just a few minutes ago on Tuesday, March the 4th, depending on whenever you're watching this. Of course, the ACC Board of Directors voted to approve this early this morning on Tuesday, and Florida State and Clemson followed suit around 12 to 1 o'clock agreeing to this as well. So I think to start with, the overall feeling, Michael, is we won. Noles win, baby. Noles win. And so, like, it might not have been a dominant victory, like, you're out right now, but, you know, as I talked about on the episode yesterday, I think in the long term, in the short term, this is good for the ACC. In the long term, this is an absolute win for Florida State. So give me some overall thoughts before we get into the details here.
Well, Jesse, you know what I always say, a win is a win is a win. Don't matter how it comes, whether it's pretty or ugly, we'll take the win. And I agree. This is a win for Florida State in the long term. As we were kind of talking about in the pre-service here, there is a short-term pain for Florida State, even though it's going to get significantly more money than it has been getting. There's a short-term pain. The ACC kind of wins here a little bit. But long-term, Florida State's out. We gone. Yeah. I mean, it'd be great if Florida State tomorrow just announced we're out of here, because they can, and there's no legal ramifications for the ACC to stop it.
Right.
So there is a long-term gain by Florida State here. And, you know, I mean, we could start dreaming. We could start dreaming again about where we're going to be and what it's going to look like. So excited for it all.
Yeah, I think the point that you make is interesting, because technically Florida State could announce they're going to leave tomorrow. I mean, it is now, well, you know, once this gets finalized legally, it is entirely possible that, you know, the date that they have to announce is by August the 15th. So by all intents and purposes, by August the 15th, Florida State could announce that they are out of here. It's just going to cost a little bit more. But some of the details that we're going to talk about make that path very clear for Florida State to leave immediately. Now, we'll talk about some of the options and which ones are the best options in the short term. But at the end of the day, the path has been laid for you to leave, whether it be now or later. Now, personally, I think that the kind of the roads align for that 2030 date, where I think Florida State will have their chair at the negotiation table when the Big Ten and the SEC come back to the TV negotiating deals, the table with Fox and ESPN. I think that's where they're going to be, but they could leave in the short term. So let's start with some of the details that we do know as far as the settlement goes. And now, these slides came from FSU Athletics during the Board of Trustee meetings. Effective for the upcoming year. This goes into effect for the upcoming year is what I meant to say. So Florida State has a chance to really start putting that money in their pocket immediately. They have options, to really make it out right now. That's the biggest takeaway, is these are coming right now. This does incentivize the programs to invest in on-field success, as well as just their programs as a whole. And FSU, you know, the one thing they talked about was FSU's viewership is steady over decades. And that's really where I want to start with this, right? Because you had sent me this tweet earlier that I thought was interesting, where someone had compared the last 5 years of viewership data, Nielsen-rated games, that did not include, of course, games on the ACC network and things like that. And they also excluded the 2020 COVID season. And I'll throw that slide up for you watching on YouTube now, where Florida State comes in at over 2.1 million viewers averaged over that five-year span, 15.23% of the viewership share of the conference. Clemson comes in at second, 2.08 million viewers, 14.73. Your next highest is Miami, bringing in about 9.5% of the viewership at 1.34 million. And then every other program averages under 1 million views per year over that time span and under 7% of the conference. So really what that says, Michael, is Florida State is the bell cow of this conference. And you can also argue that that five-year period, there was only two winning seasons in that period.
That's right.
So it's been a pretty terrible time for Florida State that they measured those metrics. And so I think that that not only talks about the brand value that Florida State brings, but it's an indictment on all the other programs in the conference. And something that I tweeted out this after, you know, just after this happened was like, look, man, under equal revenue sharing, now I understand there's things like ticket sales and booster stuff, and that's extraneous stuff. But when you talk about just TV money, these, all of these programs had an equal opportunity to invest in their football programs, which it's no secret football is the revenue driver. It's no secret that this is what builds up this conference. This is what the SEC did to get where they're at. They all had this opportunity, and they chose not to do that. So miss me with the feeling bad for these other teams in the conference that they're going to get a pay cut to help fund extra money for teams like Florida State, Clemson, you know, and all these other teams. So, you know, I mean, everybody had that opportunity. Now, this is open to everybody, so I think it will have an opportunity, as you saw on that slide there where it talks about incentivizes program investments. These other programs can step up and they can make those investments now to get a part of this extra money, which we're going to talk about here in a second. It's not exclusive to Florida State and Clemson, but you know, now that they have been riding the coattails of those that did invest in the program for years,
that's right,
I can't feel bad for you that now we're finally getting repaid a fair share, because you know, we talked about this on a previous episode where Florida State said they bring in 15%, they get paid 7%. And so now it's going to be more of an equal payday. And you know, I think that's just, it's fair.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just like being a part of a group project and you got 2-3 people who are actually doing the job. Everybody else is just sitting around, but everybody's getting an A+. Like that just doesn't work in the real world. And the other schools, Wake Forest, Boston College, all those schools have been benefiting off the backs of Florida State, off of Clemson, off of Miami, you know, even a little bit of Georgia Tech there. They've been benefiting off the back. I mean, UNC, which is supposed to be supposedly a big brand, has been benefiting off the backs of Florida State, Clemson, Miami, you know, in a little bit of Georgia Tech there. And so now this viewership revenue pool is going to be more helpful to Florida State and Clemson. And what it does also provide for the Wake Forest, the Boston Colleges, the UVAs, the Dukes, is stability, at least for the next 4 to 5 years. For the next 4 to 5 years, you're still going to be able to compete with the big boys. Now, after that, once those schools are gone, that's on you. But right now, you get stability. This is where the ACC wins in this short-term settlement agreement, is they get stability right now. Long term, not so much. And so those schools like Wake Forest and all of them, man, you can, like you said, you can miss me with the feeling bad. I don't feel bad. You have literally lived off the paychecks of Florida State and Clemson doing all the heavy lifting.
Yeah, and I think it's also interesting because I've seen the slide before and I don't have it handy, where how much of their views Florida State and Clemson are responsible for as well.
Yes.
So you wouldn't even be where you're at. And really that last slide that we talked about, that's including Georgia Tech was the number one viewed team in the ACC last year because of a great year. And Miami also had their best year, you know, second best year in basically two decades to really boost those numbers up. So if you were to back that up to 2023 and in that slide there, the numbers are even more of a bigger shift. And so I think that is interesting. And I think when you talk about, you know, the short-term win for the ACC, again, a settlement means both teams get, or, you know, both sides, should I say, get a little bit of what they want. And I think that's a good point. The ACC gets short-term stability while they figure out what's going to happen. But Florida State and Clemson and the bigger brands of the ACC, which, by the way, when you see the numbers, it's a little humbling factor for those North Carolina teams. Of course, they dominate in basketball, I'm sure, but football is the main driver here. You know, they said yesterday 75% of the viewership for the conference. But I do think that when you look at this, it's like, okay, it doesn't necessarily mean the death of the ACC,
right?
Because they will have time to figure this out. I just think that at some point, you're going to reach a crossroads, and that feels like around 2030 when the other teams look to leave. And I think the conference is going to reach that crossroads there. It may not mean the death of it, but it could look very, very different when you come out on the other side of that. If you were to lose a Florida State, a Clemson, a Miami, a UNC, you lose those top brands, you're fine for now. It doesn't mean the death. It just means that it's going to be a crossroads of, can you find enough replacement pieces? Because I promise you, Michael, no matter how much these teams invest, the big brands are not going to stay. You're just not, because of, you know, when that revenue gap gets to 2030, you're looking at $50 million to $70 million a year. And that's before you sign the new media contract.
Absolutely. And this might be a key point for the ACC schools to consider in all of this, is that when 2030 happens, there's a couple key big things. When 2030 happens, the Big Ten is up for a TV renewal deal. The SEC is not. They're the next year. So now the SEC is going to have to figure out, well, if Florida State becomes available to the Big Ten and the Big Ten is going to move into our market, we're going to have to figure something out, because we have a year before our renewal comes up. So what do they do with that? And then let's say more than Florida State and Clemson, Miami leaves the ACC. So UNC, North Carolina State, UVA, all those, Virginia, they leave, right? Well, now that triggers in the ACC media contract. If you remember, if they get below a certain number, that triggers ESPN to basically get out of that contract and potentially renegotiate at a much smaller rate per school that they're paying right now. So that's also a thing to consider. Now, I imagine the ACC is going to try to add a bunch of schools, but I bet ESPN is going to be like, yeah, but we're not going to pay at the same rate as we were paying before what you're getting now.
Right. No, I wholeheartedly agree. And let's get into some numbers and then what it means for Florida State, because I think you bring some interesting points up there. So this also comes from the FSU Board of Trustees meeting. And this is basically where we're at versus where we're going. Under the current revenue distribution system, obviously, we know it's equal sharing among TV rights, regardless of your performance, brand value, viewership, anything like that. So everybody basically gets the same paycheck at the end of the day. The success initiative, obviously, which was put into place starting last year, it, you know, based on what you do on-field success, you can earn some extra money. That is something that we've already known about, and I discussed on yesterday's update. The new model, there will be no change in the success initiative, but it will continue. So that's another revenue stream that Florida State can tap. Obviously, you got to be successful to tap it,
right?
But it is there. And then the new proposed, which has been agreed upon now, media rights distribution is the majority share. 60% of the base media rights value will be placed into a viewership pool to be distributed via ratings-based model. This is the brand initiative that we've talked about before. And so that is very important. Now, the next arm of this, which is probably even more important, because what this is going to provide is Florida State to earn an extra bit of revenue while they find their way out of this conference, decide what they want to do. And that's been rumored to be anywhere between $15 to $20 million annually for the brand initiative on top of the success initiative, which could be anywhere between, I believe, $10 and $20 million. So you can earn yourself a significant chunk of change. But the second and probably more important part of this is how you leave the conference and what it costs to do so. And so right now, the withdrawal penalty under the current system is three times the ACC operating budget, which is currently estimated to be around $165 million. Now, as far as retaining your media rights, the ACC's argument, this is why they even went to court. The ACC's argument says, no, we own your media rights regardless of whether you leave, because you signed the, by the way, guys, no longer ironclad grant of rights. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. And now the new model is going to be, upon notice and payment of the withdrawal, you can basically get to take your rights with you. And so what the numbers are breaking down here to be is, if you were to leave right now, it's $165 million in the fiscal year of 2026. That fee drops by $18 million per year until after that 2030-2031 season, when it becomes $75 million and it levels off right there. And so again, this is massive, right? Because I mean, if you get to that 2030 date when that, you know, when you're looking at renegotiating with the SEC and the Big Ten to join those conferences, and it's only going to cost you $75 million and they are paying $50 million a year more. I mean, it takes you a year and a half to basically recoup the cost of paying to get out of this conference. And so I think that is, again, that is really, really important. That second part of the argument here, because, you know, let's kind of bring it home with what does this mean for Florida State, Michael? And so I think really, let's start with the extra revenue part. This is something that I covered yesterday where, you know, Florida State has an opportunity to earn that extra $15 to $20 million per year on the brand value initiative. And that's why we started with the viewership numbers to show people that, you know, as long as Florida State doesn't have a year like last year, and even in last year, they were still up their top five in the ACC. As long as you don't have a year like last year, that money is going to end up in your pocket because you are one of the heavier viewed brands in the ACC. That, of course, is going to be based on a five-year weighted rolling average of your viewers per like the Nielsen rated games and things like that. So they have some other things to figure out there. So that is a good opportunity for Florida State to earn extra money while they wait. Now, the exit part of that, again, Florida State, like you said, could pay $165 million and leave right now. But that drops by $18 million per year annually until it hits that $75 million mark in 2030, 2031. And so I think what it means for Florida State is you now have your path to get out, whether it be short term, whether it be long term. Now, me personally, I think you're still targeting that 2030 date. And the reason I say that is because if you were to, I think if you were to try and leave right now, the smartest move from a financial aspect is the SEC. Now, I know some fans aren't going to want to hear that because that means you're tying your wagon, you're hitching your wagon to ESPN again. But you can come into the SEC right now as a full share member. So you will get that increased payout. You won't have to take it on the nose a little bit like you would in the Big Ten because they're only going to bring you in as a partial share member. And I actually saw somebody, and I don't have the numbers at my hand here, but somebody said with these new initiatives, Florida State could potentially be making more in the ACC than Oregon and Washington in the Pac-12 is because they did not come in as full share members. That is not part of the Big Ten contract. So I think in the short term, if you're just like, look, we can't do this anymore. We got to go right now or by next year or whenever you want to go, then I think it's going to be the SEC. If you're like, okay, we'll wait till 2030. We'll get, you know, all the projects that we have done. We'll start shopping our rights and all these things, and we'll make an exit strategy. Then I think you open the door up for the Big Ten. Now, of course, you could do it now. It's just going to cost you more money because you're going to have to pay more to get out in the short term, and you're not going to be able to get that full media rights value in the Big Ten. But either way, at the end of the day, you have your exit path and you have an opportunity to make an extra $20 to $25 million or more per year through the success initiative and the brand value initiative while you wait to get out and make your decision.
Yeah, absolutely. See, yeah, with the brand initiative, you know, I think the number has been $15 million that they can make extra. There are other media outlets that are reporting it's more so around 20 with more insight. The success initiative is going to be largely dependent on how you perform on the football field in theory, also the basketball court as well, too. That's going to play a part in the success initiative. But at the end of the day, what I want to make clear is when I say Florida State can announce tomorrow that it's going to leave the ACC, what I don't mean is that Florida State is going to leave the ACC tomorrow. No, what I'm saying is they could announce tomorrow that in 2030, we are leaving the conference. And what that, regardless if they announce or not, what this settlement now does is it's going to give them probably backdoor ability in conversation to negotiate with the Big Ten and the SEC, right? And more so right now, we've known since this whole thing has started to transpire that the Big Ten wants a flag in the state of Florida. It's the one market they don't have. It's the one big football market they don't have. They desperately want Florida State. It's and not that I'm like a Big Ten insider or anything, but it's been clear throughout, no matter what anybody's writing out there, no matter any of the articles where these writers are saying the Big Ten doesn't want Florida State, it's a lie. They desperately want Florida State, okay? The issue becomes the SEC, as I said a little bit earlier, their contract, media contract, is not up in 2030. only the Big Ten is. So if the SEC wants to keep the Big Ten out of its backyard, it's going to have to go back to ESPN and say, we need to make Florida State a full share member now. Because if not, we're going to lose them to the Big Ten. And ESPN doesn't want Fox in its backyard as well, too. So really, a lot of the cards are right now in FSU's favor. They can save up that money so that by the time they do leave in 2030, they're only paying that $75 million, not the $165, yep. Right? Also, it gives them time to get all the infrastructure, all the things ready to go for when they jump to whatever conference they end up in as well, too. Now, let me just say, more important than anything we've just said today, Jesse, the most important thing is what they do on the field. Because none of that else will matter if they don't win on the field during these next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, no, I wholeheartedly agree. And that was literally my next point, was to say that, like, I think one, we got options. And I think that's what you were after out of this. That's what you wanted. You wanted clarity on what your options were. Florida State, you know, in their initial lawsuit, they didn't sue to say they never even said we were going to leave the ACC in the initial lawsuit. They just said, we want to know what it would take to leave the ACC. And if we did leave, do we get our media rights and all this stuff? You know that now. You have a clear picture. The ACC that was, you know, ironclad bent the knee, and they met Florida State in the middle with where they were at. And so this is a win for Florida State. You have now options to make it out of this. But like you said, man, in the short term, the number one most important thing is what you do with your own business. You have to win on the field. You have to put butts in the seats on Saturdays, which is winning on the field. You have to get the eyeballs back on the TV sets and be that flagship program in the ACC, not only so you can squeeze the most juice out of these extra revenue streams, but so you can remain marketable for these other conferences when that day comes. Because like you said, man, regardless of what people will report about whether these conferences truly want Florida State or not, we know they do. And the reason that is because there's only so much conference expansion that's left out there. They have already snapped up the big brands from the Big 12 and the Pac-12. Think about it, Michael. There's only really about 2 to 4 big fish, 5 big fish out there left. That's Florida State, Clemson, North Carolina from an entire athletic department standpoint, not so much football.
Right.
I guess Miami could be grouped into that when they're good at football. But really outside of that, UVA as an entire athletic department, certainly not football. But again, like, that is really about it. There are not many schools that, let me pop the slide up there, that are going to bring 2 million viewers per year to add to your conference. And again, those 2 million viewers per year average is primarily against ACC schools. We saw when Florida State played against LSU, I believe that game was 9 million viewers or something like that.
One of the highest rated games in the history.
Right. One of the top 5 games of the year of that season. And so, like, again, and even in 2022, both teams were kind of coming off a down period. Right. And so, you know, they're attractive, but it matters what you do in the short term to put yourself in the best position to maximize things for the long term, to get that revenue, to make yourself look attractive, and to be ready when that 2030 date comes. Now, it may not be 2030. It may be sooner than that. But I think we're both in agreement that that's probably your target date. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, it's easy for us to say, well, it's just $165 million, but, you know, it's just $165 million. That's a big difference when you're talking about, right, when you're talking about you can wait a few more years, save $110 million, and take your media rights with you, which is the biggest part of this whole settlement. And because, you know, that was about $500 million to buy those media rights out. And then at the same time, you can collect that $15 to $20 to $25-$30 million when you factor in the success initiative too, because it has been stated that SMU and Clemson got an extra $4 million last year for making the playoffs. So if you can rake in $20 to $25 million extra for those next 4 to 5 years and save $110 million on the back end to buy out, man, that is absolutely massive. But it's the ball. I think now the ball is in our court, right?
Sorry.
You got to fix the basketball program. And I know they're working on that, and you have to get the football back to having success. But if you do that, Michael, you are going to get paid fairly and equally in for what you bring into the conference. And now we have options to get out of the conference. And at the end of the day, man, to kind of close this out, that's what we wanted. That's what Florida State was after. And that's something that they talked about in that board of trustees meeting when Trustee Weatherford talked and Michael Alford talked. It was like, hey, look, you took on the giant. You were criticized heavily for doing it because everybody said you were kind of dumb to go into this. you know, and he even, and Weatherford even said that he felt very good in the beginning, but then he had lost a little bit of faith that they were going to be able to win this lawsuit and that they were going to be able to get out when they wanted to and how they wanted to. So again, I think that you enter the settlement, you remove the risk of losing. And so now you've got what you wanted. It just may be a little bit more of an extended timeline, but you know, this is what you were after. And I think you have to consider this a win for Florida State in the long term. And I think they, maybe they could have came about it a little bit different, some of their wording in the initial outings. But man, I got to say, like, I'm proud of the administration for going to bat against the ACC. I'm, you know, thankful for Clemson for joining us. You know, I think we should maybe sue Miami and North Carolina for legal fees to get paid back a little bit because they're going to benefit off our backs from this. But man, you know, again, at the end of the day, this is a win for Florida State because now you have options to see your future as a national power competitive brand in one of the Power Two conferences.
Yeah, it's no longer, your future is no longer hopeless.
Right.
I think a lot of Florida State fans felt that way. It felt like, man, we were just in this dying conference. We're going to get relegated to basically a G5 status. That's basically what the pundits were saying. That's basically how the college football playoffs treated Florida State, you know, 2 years ago during the snub. It's basically how, when you look at the coverage of ACC football and having to play on the CW, having to play at inopportune times, not getting the big windows to play the games, you just felt like, man, it's so hopeless. Like, we're going to get reduced to this, like, nobody status in this program that's won 3 national championships, been an iconic brand for century, you know, for a long time, a little over 40 years. This actually now provides a clear window of hope that, oh no, you're gonna play big boy football. In the short term, yeah, you got a little bit of pain you got to suffer through, but that gives you time to get ready so that when you get into the big boy football conference of the Big Ten or the SEC, now you're coming in with guns a-blazing. You're ready to rip that show up and get back to being the dominant program that we fell in love with as kids, right? This is what that opportunity is. That's why it matters so much. You know, Mike Norvell and coaching staff, listen, the administration did what they could have done. They got you an out, okay?
Yeah.
Now you got to reward them for the work on the field. You've got to go win, okay? I'm not saying you got to win a national title this year. I'm just saying you got to be respectable. You got to be in the conversation. And the next 4 to 5 years, it's going to be important. So that brand, so that logo, as we talk about all the time, means something when you walk into the room of the negotiation table between the Big Ten and the SEC.
Yeah. And I mean, the last thing I'll say is, like, revenue aside, if you don't think that you need to make the move out of the conference, and I know all of us are in agreement that they do, just look at what the automatic qualifier arguments are coming about, where they're going to get,
absolutely,
they're just going to strong arm all the other conferences into getting whatever automatic qualifier bids that they want in an expanded playoffs. They run the table. They hold the chips. The ACC has no really leverage here.
Nothing.
The teams in the ACC don't have any leverage against Florida State and Clemson, and they know that, or else there is no reason they would have ever signed this deal to a pay cut. You know, Wake Forest would have never signed a deal to take a $7 million pay cut to pay Florida State $15 million more. But they know they're a boat anchor for viewership. They know that without Florida State, they don't get that paycheck. And so this is what you had to do to get the seat at the table, not only from a revenue standpoint, but just from those two conferences are the controlling powers in college football right now. And it's going to remain that way until something massive changes. And so far, there are no signs that it's going to massively change. And like you said, man, I'm excited to see what the future looks like for Florida State. I mean, obviously, think of the big brand matchups against an Ohio State, a Michigan, a USC, Alabama, a Georgia. I mean, we're going to see that this year, but the SEC brands and things like that. And also, the last thing for me, Michael, is, like, you are behind now. And the revenue gap is there, but it's not huge right now. But you know, something we've always talked about is Florida State has been a program that has done significantly more with less for a long time. Now, what can Florida State do in the state of Florida with that extra money? Now that you don't have to be $50 million behind, you know, over that 5-year gap or whatever, behind Florida, behind your major competitors, now you can be on an equal footing and you can build the Taj Mahals of college football and have a $2 million recruiting budget and all that type of stuff. Man, this is the next, like you said, this creates excitement for the future of Florida State. And I think that's all we were hoping for coming out of this lawsuit. So, man, that's all I got to say about this. I don't know if you have any final thoughts, but man, I think it gives you hope for the future of Florida State.
Well, what I'll say this is that if you're a Florida State fan and you feel down about this, you thinking we should get out yesterday. Listen, Jesse could tell you, I was with you. When I first got this news, I was not happy about it. So we're not going to tell you how to fan. But what we will ask is that as you process this, think long term. Think 5 years from now. Like when you tell your grandchild or your kids about Florida State football, don't you want to be talking about being in the Big Ten or the SEC playing Big Book football? Well, guess what? We now have a clear, identifiable pathway to get there. And that is what has transitioned me from being down about this to actually being pretty excited about this.
Yeah. Just turn on the TV on that late August afternoon and look at the environment around Florida State, Alabama.
Absolutely.
And then record that, DVR that, and play that back the Friday before you watch Florida State versus Wake Forest in Doak Campbell Stadium. And think about the future possibilities of the matchups that will, the impact on the city of Tallahassee, all the businesses there. I mean, this is a massive move, like you said, for the long-term future of the university. So, man, lots of excitement in this. Florida State gets the win in the settlement versus the ACC. At least I consider it a win. You know, like you said, there might be some short-term pain, a little bit, but it's all about the long-term gain. So appreciate you guys watching. We just wanted to bring you this quick update as we now have clarity where the lawsuits are done, they're over with, and everything has been settled. We have these details to report. So thank you guys for watching. Drop a like and subscribe if you enjoy this content. We're still pushing for 2,000 subscribers. We appreciate you guys rocking with us, as well as a rate and review on the podcast to help us reach other Noel fans. Check out plantthespear.com. where we'll be putting articles up with all these details. We got baseball series coming up as well, too, that we're going to be covering. So make sure you guys stay connected to Plant the Spear. Appreciate you guys watching. And as always, go Noles.
Go Noles.